Hello and welcome to my podcast, Voice Over Matters with Njeri Thorne, a weekly podcast on all matters in Kenya pertaining to policy, politics, people, and even pirates. Usually a weekly podcast, but of course in the backdrop of the report of the Steering Committee on the Implementation of the Building Bridges to a United Kenya Task Force report, it's something I'll be doing daily for the next few days, with a view essentially to make sure that we as Kenyans understand the content, or at least know the content within this report, before it's captured, hijacked by politicians and media who will want to drive it and frame it in their way. So the idea here is that we do an audio version of the report. We understand that it can be a bit of a laborious, arduous task to actually read through the whole document, 204 pages. It is a very comprehensive document. So what I'll be doing over the next few days is reading the document verbatim with a view to ensuring that we're all aware of what's in the document, as I say, before the media capture this and before politicians jump onto this and frame it to their advantage and before debates take off and it becomes a divisive instrument as opposed to an instrument for cohesion, unity and progressive development as a country. So in the last episode, we looked at the beginning of the report, the executive summary, which summarized pretty much what the report was about. There was the acknowledgements, which talked about who was involved, the engagement in the consultative process of thousands of Kenyans were being thanked. Thanks also went out to experts in government, academia, civil society, private sector, and so on. Of course, they lent their knowledge and experience to the task force. We also looked at different notable issues that came up during this. So COVID-19, the idea of competence, equity and equality, equal opportunity, reform and so on. Looked at proposed constitutional reforms. We looked at proposed legislature that should be reformed in terms of legislative proposals. Went on to look at, when I say look at, there was no sort of analysis of this. It was purely reading the actual report verbatim so that we can then know what's in the report before we start debating, before we start analyzing and so on. So in this episode, I'm going to carry on with the report from where I left off. Those tasked with putting together this report also included within the report a section on how to read the report, because it must be read as a whole document, not in isolation. It's very easy to capture certain aspects of this document, politicize it, and actually create divisions amongst Kenyans if we don't understand the report holistically. So there's a section here, reading the report. So it says the report is structured into sections with detailed annexes at its end. Section 1 contains the introduction and background to the establishment and work of the steering committee. Section 2 presents the process of collecting and validating proposals and views submitted to the steering committee during the validation period. It sets the foundation for the steering committee's constitutional policy and administrative reform proposals for a united and prosperous Kenya. Section 3 presents a summary of the validation outcomes for each of the 9 thematic areas. Section 4 provides a summary of implementation measures, whose details are contained in the annexes. Annexed to this report are policy doctrines and national policy guides, and an administrative action matrix and the Constitution Amendment Bill distilled from the validation process that the steering committee recommends should be implemented to spur Kenya towards unity and shared prosperity. Due to the length of the legislative annex, it will be published separately. So I could read that in another podcast, of course. Section 1, Introduction. The Steering Committee on the Implementation of the Task Force on Building Bridges to a United Kenya report was established by His Excellency President Uhuru Kenyatta by Gazette Notice No. 264 on the 3rd of January 2020. The terms of reference of the committee, as specified in the Gazette, were to conduct validation of the task force report and propose administrative, policy, statutory, and constitutional changes that may be necessary for the implementation of the recommendation contained in the task force report. So, the task force report made recommendations to the government based on the response of Kenyans to the 9-point agenda contained in the joint communique following the historic handshake between His Excellency President Uhuru Kenyatta and Right Honourable Raila Odinga on the 9th of March 2018. The 9-point agenda consisted of a lack of national ethos, responsibilities and rights, ethnic antagonism and competition, divisive elections, inclusivity, shared prosperity, corruption, devolution, and safety and security. The Building Bridges to Unity Advisory Presidential Task Force submitted its report to His Excellency President Uhuru Kenyatta and the Right Honourable Raila Odinga on the 26th of November 2019, and it was subsequently unveiled for public engagement on the 27th of November 2019. On the 10th of January 2020, His Excellency President Uhuru Kenyatta appointed the steering committee through Kenya Gazette Notice number 264 with the following terms of reference. A. Conduct validation of the task force report on building bridges to a united Kenya through consultations with citizens, civil society, faith-based organizations, cultural leaders, the private sector, and experts, and propose administrative, policy, statutory, and constitutional changes that may be necessary for the implementation of the recommendations contained in the task force report, taking into account any relevant contributions made during the validation period. In the performance of its function, the steering committee was mandated to A. appoint its chairperson and vice chairperson from among its members, B. regulate its own procedure within the confines of the law and the constitution, C. privilege bipartisan and nonpartisan groupings, forums, and experts, D. form technical working groups as may be required in the fulfillment of its terms of reference, E. hold such number of meetings in such places and at such times as it shall consider necessary for the proper discharge of its functions, F. solicit, receive, and consider written memoranda or information from the public, and G. carry out or cause to be carried out such assessments, studies, or research as may inform its mandate. It is against this backdrop that the Steering Committee of the Implementation of the Task Force on Building Bridges to a United Kenya Task Force report has prepared this report. Section 2, Methodology. In order to effectively deliver on its mandate, the committee's first task was to conduct a validation exercise of the task force report. The objective of the process was to enhance the participation of the people in the formulation of the recommendation and decisions affecting them. The validation exercise was conducted through the following content and report implementation methodologies. Task force report, reviewing the contents of the task force report, and this is contained in section 3 of this report. National stakeholder validation forum, the steering committee held a total of 93 stakeholder consultation meetings at the KICC, Lyco Regency Hotel, and at its offices in Nairobi. These fora were attended by representatives from civil society, faith-based organizations, women's groups, youth groups, persons with disability groups, cultural leaders, and government. Regional delegates meetings. These regional meetings took place across the country to discuss and validate the task force report. During the meetings, the technical experts who were retained as consultants by the steering committee took attendees through the task force report. They received written validation submissions from the leaders at the end of each meeting. Regional public meetings. Regional leaders held meetings across the country during which members of the public engaged their leaders on the recommendations of the task force report. Most of these meetings were attended by one or two steering committee members who received written submissions from Kenyans through their leaders. Rift Valley governors were hosted at the steering committee's offices on March the 20th, 2020 to present and submit memoranda from their counties following postponement of a regional meeting due to COVID-19. The governors submitted memoranda from their respective counties. Written submissions. The steering committee publicized its official email and physical address through which written memoranda from members of the public and organizations were delivered. The committee received a total of 124 hand-delivered memoranda and 223 emailed memoranda. Experts' engagement. The steering committee invited external experts and drafters to provide technical information, expertise on various issues, drafting a variety of documents, and also taking various groups through the task force report. Desktop review. The steering committee undertook desktop review of relevant documents and international good practices to inform and enrich the report. The steering committee established technical committees with expertise on policy development, administrative, legal and constitutional reforms to collate and analyze the validation submissions. Section 3, validation. This section presents a summary of the validation outcomes for each of the 9 thematic areas. National ethos, responsibilities and rights. In the task force report, Kenyans decreed the fact. Okay. Section 3, validation. This section presents a summary of the validation outcomes for each of the 9 thematic areas. National ethos, responsibilities and rights. In the task force report, Kenyans decreed the fact that Kenya lacked a sense of national ethos and is increasingly a nation of distinct individuals instead of an individually distinct nation. And we have placed too much emphasis on what the nation can do for us, our rights, and given almost no attention to what we each must do for our nation, i.e. our responsibilities. During the validation exercise, there was a general agreement on the need for us to define and subscribe to a national ethos to foster unity, a sense of belonging, patriotism, and pride. Stakeholders emphasized the importance of preserving our cultural heritage and documenting our history honestly. Also, clearly emerging was a desire for long-term thinking. Many Kenyans experienced in governance throughout the public. Also, clearly emerging was a desire for the long-term thinking. Many Kenyans experienced in governance throughout the Republic set out the need to make changes that will be relevant to where we want to reach as a country in 50, 100 years from today. It was noted that past government regimes have made few efforts to harmonize our traditional cultural values and systems with modern laws and policies. In this regard, stakeholders proposed that in addition to the recommendations made in the task force report, the government should promote Kiswahili as one of the measures to ensure we are comfortable in our own African skin. They also supported the proposal that the government should boost the study of local literary works in our educational institutions and support research in written and oral literature, both traditional and contemporary. In addition, stakeholders felt that the government should increase efforts to rally Kenyans to support local industry by purchasing Kenyan-made goods, including wearing Kenyan brands and designs. The proposal to transfer ethics, cohesion, and integration mandates to a new commission was supported by stakeholders. Stakeholders also agreed to address concerns regarding indiscipline of children, breakdown of marriages, and general erosion of cultural values in today's society by mainstreaming ethics training awareness in mentoring and counseling sessions, in religious activities, and through community outreach programs. They stressed the importance of integrating ethics and responsibilities as part of the school curriculum at all levels of education, as well as in civic education curricula. Stakeholders told the steering committee that ethos and values can be embedded in various aspects of school culture, for example, in school clubs and during school assemblies, where learners should recite the loyalty pledge and national anthem. On the issues of responsibilities and rights, submissions revealed that stakeholders perceived a more significant role for parents, guardians, teachers, the clergy, media, elders, and political leaders, and media to play in instilling ethical values and a sense of responsibility among children and young people. Stakeholders further emphasized the need for administrative and policy measures to provide elders and culture leaders with a greater role in mentoring young people. Ethnic antagonism and competition. In the task force report, it was noted that ethnic antagonism and competition are a major threat to Kenya's success and the very continuity of our nation. To strengthen social ties and promote unity among all the communities, stakeholders recommended that the Ministry of Education, through the Kenya Institute of Curriculum Development, review the curricula to introduce and integrate teaching of national unity, character, and cohesion to learners during their formative and early years. They also recommended the review of policies in the education sector that promote social integration, especially as regards admission to schools and institutions of higher learning. They agreed with a BBI report that deliberate efforts should be made to ensure a national outlook in the student and staff population in every school. On teacher recruitment, the ministry should adopt policy guidelines that encourage local recruitment and staffing of teachers, depending on the circumstances. Stakeholders further said that programs should be put in place for cultural exchange and integration between different schools so that learners can grow to appreciate the different cultures and dynamics in Kenya. During the validation, Kenyans called for urgent reform in the electoral system to make the executive structure more inclusive and end ethnic violence caused by the winner-take-all system. Some stakeholders were in agreement with the task force report that the mandate of cohesion and integration should be undertaken by the proposed Ethics and Integrity Commission, while others felt the role could be effectively undertaken by the National Cohesion and Integration Commission. They said that the commission should, among other things, be mandated to carry out diversity and ethnic audits in the various institutions within the public sector in Kenya to correct regional and ethnic imbalances to meet constitutional requirements. Stakeholders wanted serious action to be taken against hate speech, particularly in the context of political campaigns that they identified as the major driver of division. They felt that existing arrangements have not been sufficiently robust and wanted strong reforms to address this. Other key recommendations on ethnic antagonism and competition include criminalizing hate speech and the use of violence, especially prior to, during, and after elections. It was proposed that any person inciting or sponsoring violence against another Kenyan due to their ethnic background should be held criminally liable and punished severely. Kenyans further recommended the implementation of the past commission and task force reports, including the Truth, Justice and Reconciliation Report, i.e. the TGRC report, and the need to address historical injustices and land reforms once and for all. Inclusivity. Kenyans expressed a keen desire for greater political, economic and religious inclusivity. They want fairer and more equitable planning and sharing of national revenue and strongly recommended that the Commission on Revenue Allocation review the revenue sharing formula to come up with a more equitable formula. Likewise, they proposed the objective for the Equalization Fund be reviewed to take into account minorities and marginalized communities in all counties and the allocation to the fund be increased to bring basic services, including water, roads, health facilities, and electricity to the ward level. A vast majority affirmed, as a fundamental principle, that all Kenyans have the right to seek and to be protected by the state and the law in the pursuit of prosperity and happiness within the boundaries of the Republic, and that no Kenyan should ever be victimized or considered a foreigner in their own country. The marginalized, the underserved, and the poor. The validation process overall revealed that there was a deep and extensive feeling of being left out by millions of Kenyans. There were those who recalled the negative impact of past government policies on their families and communities, and who stated that they would feel more included if there were deliberate efforts made to offer mitigating actions. Others in different parts of the country felt their areas or occupations were not receiving due regard by development efforts today. Yet other Kenyans suffered so greatly from extreme poverty that they felt the urgent need for an immediate helping hand and employment opportunities to help them survive. In every single part of Kenya, there were people who felt marginalized and underserved and who know crippling poverty. All these created a feeling of urgency that for Kenya to be an inclusive country, there will need to be extensive efforts to address these profound concerns, mainly among the following distinct categories of Kenyans. Historically marginalized communities. The steering committee heard about the call for inclusion, including delivery of services and resource allocation by specific communities, mostly hailing from the ASALs, border communities, and informal settlements in towns and cities. Problems described by members of these communities include the need for protection from aggression by neighboring communities, redress for historical injustices, official recognition as an ethnic group, improved access to citizenship documents, affirmative action in employment, and greater representation in the form of independent counties or constituencies. Specific communities from which the steering committee received such submissions include the Ogiek, the Ijara, the Suba, the Ajuran, the Tukana, and Wajir South, among others. The underserved and the poor. The steering committee heard that in the decades since independence, many Kenyans have moved into urban areas in search of employment, while the growth of decent jobs, particularly resulting from manufacturing, has declined proportionate to the population. This has led to high levels of poverty and the growth of informal settlements that have been underserved and sometimes marginalized from service provision by the public and private sectors. Kenyans living in urban slums and peri-urban informal settlements told the steering committee that the definition of the marginalized groups should be expanded to include underserved people or communities living in informal settlements so that they can be given a voice in decision-making to improve their well-being, which, in their view, appears to have been omitted from the constitution when marginalized and disadvantaged groups were catered for. They wanted equal service provision with other Kenyans and an equal share in national revenues. People living with disabilities. People living with disability have passionately decried the widespread and systemic exclusion that they face and made recommendations to address this. They include a review of the Person with Disability Act 2003 to align it with the increased opportunities and gains for people with disabilities in the Constitution, fast-tracking the enactment of the Kenyan Sign Language Bill to ensure that people with disabilities are able to access information and public services, formulation of a Learners with Disabilities Bill, affirmative action for political inclusion, and strengthening of commissions and bodies established by the legislation relating to people with disabilities to enforce the law. People with disabilities representatives made passionate remarks on their desires to directly choose their own elective representatives and that political party electoral and nomination mechanisms should take this into account. It was submitted that though the Constitution requires the state to ensure progressive implementation of the principle that at least 5% of the members of public in elective and appointive bodies are persons with disabilities, progress has been very slow. Youth. Young people participating in the validation process wanted employment opportunities for them to be vastly increased while still appreciating the enormous number of jobs that may not be available immediately. Most youths and their representatives who spoke to the steering committee welcomed the BBI task force recommendations related to them, but urged that they be implemented with greater urgency. Most young people speaking to the steering committee during the validation period exhibited frustration with the job market. They complained of having met the educational goals that they were told would allow them to get employment, but when they applied for jobs, there were persistent demands for them to have experience, among other unattainable requirements for a new entrant into the job market. They proposed that the entry requirements for jobs in the public and private sector, at least at the entry levels, be made more accessible for those entering the job market for the first time. In the interim, youth representatives made proposals for the full implementation of the Kenya Youth Development Policy 2019 and the development of policy, legal, and administrative structures to give young people greater consideration in employment, elective and appointive leadership positions and business opportunities. Stakeholders spoke of the difficulty in accessing the 30% public procurement provision and the existing youth funds. They communicated the widespread conviction that there was something not working effectively and called for changes. They called for a youth commission to be inserted into the constitution, reflecting their conviction that their priorities needed to be much more seriously engaged with by the state and national leadership. Women and girls. Vast number of submissions regarding the lack of inclusivity for women were received during the validation process. The steering committee was struck by the deep and widespread feeling of exclusion and marginalization among the women of Kenya who felt that mainstream social, cultural, and political arrangements prevent them from fully accessing their rights under the constitution. A specific concern of stakeholders was the entrenched political marginalization and particularly the lack of the implementation of the two-thirds gender rule. To correct this and a wide range of other issues, women have made the following proposals. A. Adoption of a political representation system to implement the two-thirds gender rule in Parliament. B. Ensuring the executive structure of the country follows the two-thirds gender rule. C. Creation of a strict monitoring system in the implementation of the two-thirds gender rule and execution of sanctions for non-compliance. D. Implementation of Section 2B of the Basic Education Amendment Act 2017 on the provision of free, sufficient and high quality sanitary towels to girls in public basic education schools. E. fast-tracking of the enactment of the Menstrual Health Management Bill, and upscaling of funding for social protection to protect children from teenage pregnancies, early marriages, and sexual gender-based violence, the elderly. During the validation process, the steering committee heard about the urgent need to address the needs of the elderly Kenyans who feel forgotten in their time of need despite their contribution to national development during their active days. To help them cope with the grinding poverty some of them currently face, they recommended the following measures to be undertaken. A. Development of a sustainable retirement benefit scheme in both private and public sectors. B. Finalizing the implementation of the pensions management information systems of the pensions department to reduce backlog of pensions and other benefit claims cases. C. Enhancing the capacity of the NHIF to roll out free and comprehensive medical cover for people over 65 years old across the country. D. Establishing a social security fund where the aged receive a monthly stipend. And E. Development of policies and legislation by county governments to provide for the establishment of county recreation and social centres to support older persons. Public participation. Many Kenyans emphasise the fact that the essence of public participation is not only to involve the public in policy making, but also to provide a platform for policymakers and implementers to be accountable to the public. Public participation fails to achieve this goal where the public has no access to relevant information at the appropriate time to enable them to participate meaningfully. Citizens expressed frustration at the lack of meaningful public participation in the development and implementation of government programs that affect them, in spite of constitutional, statutory, and judicial pronouncements that oblige the public and state officers to undertake public participation. Employment in the public service. Kenyans who gave their views on this matter feel that employment in the public service is not sufficiently inclusive. Different sections, including young people, women, those living with disability and marginalized communities, feel that they were excluded. Stakeholders recommend that government agencies, in consultation with the Public Service Commission, should develop policies on workplace diversity to attract diverse communities into public service. They propose that the Ethics and Integrity Commission should be mandated to monitor and to report to Parliament on issues of workplace diversity. They further welcomed the BBI task force proposals on A. Utilization of professional recruiting firms to undertake professional searches for candidates from underrepresented. A. Utilization of professional recruiting firms to undertake professional searches for candidates from underrepresented areas. A. Utilization of professional recruiting firms to undertake professional searches for candidates from underrepresented areas. B. Affirmative action measures for promotion. C. Transfer and recruitment of minorities who may not have the professional qualifications required for various jobs in the public service. Mental health. The BBI Task Force report identified mental health as a matter of increasing concern to Kenyans and recommended that a special task force should be formed to find solutions on making mental health care accessible, lowering the stigma against those suffering, and support for home caregivers. The task force was indeed appointed on the 11th of December 2019, and its work is ongoing. The task force members appeared before the steering committee and confirmed that Kenyans who appeared before them raised mental health as an issue of great concern. Stakeholders recommended important actions which the government should take to alleviate their suffering and that of their loved ones who face this debilitating condition. The recommendations include A. Fast-tracking the enactment of the Persons with Psychosocial Disabilities Bill. B. Development of legislation on mental health to provide, among other things, for the establishment of a Mental Health and Happiness Commission. C. Development of a National Happiness Index. D. Funding for mental health services at national and county level. To further address issues of mental health, they recommended harmonization of the NACADA Act, Alcoholic Drinks Control Act, Narcotic Drugs and Psychotropic Substances Control, and the Tobacco Control Act, and the need for county governments to develop and enforce policies and legislation that regulate the use of drugs and alcohol.